So, hi, I'm David Casal. I work for Lugna, which is part of the Erixa Alliance, and I'm not going to talk about anything serious, so don't expect it. The reason I'm doing this is because of a conversation that me and Andrew Savory, who's also here, and Stefano Matocchi had a year ago, approximately, at MIT while we were trying to do some work over there, about how pipeline tax purchasing was a lot like Bach Fuse. It was a very drunken conversation, I must add. But somehow they've coached me into explaining what I meant, so now I have to. I have this belief that software development really is a mimic transition from music and from many other arts. I'll explain what I mean by mimic transition later, but for now, the first point that's coming out of me that I can find is that computing is based on time. This is the only paradigm I can find around where you think about processing your stuff in a timeline, which to me, you know, makes you all composers. In Bach, in preludes and fugues in Bach, you have the prelude and the fugue. And in the prelude, you have a schema for a key, a schema for what keys are contained within that key, for every complex size that may arise out of F major. In the fugue, you have an application which processes the possibilities within this schema as an application, literally starting from an XML source document and throwing it in into a pipeline using literally a generator. What can you do in the key of G? A tiny thing. So Bach will start and give you something like that. And there's nothing there other than it says I am G major and I am concordant with the schema. After that, when you're in the application, I'll explain why I'm showing you this. In the application, you go everywhere else. You're not just in G major. You experience transformation, all kinds of aggregation. You pull on different data sources, stuff that just comes out of whatever you ate for breakfast. In these colors, you will find a timeline from left to right, and I'll explain when fugue happens. But if you can think of, as you saw, the key of G as blue, kind of, then you see what I'm talking about. There's a lot of blue there. But there's also a lot of C major, and there's a lot of B major. These are explorations, transformations that happen throughout this timeline. And because every single complex site within the schema is explained there, when you're in a fugue, you run through them. And every single time you find a little bit of blue here, and here, and here, and here, you come back into the pipeline with an original document that is no longer the same, or even though it's still in G major. But you've added stuff, you've aggregated it. And that big, enormous blotch of red is an enormous block of transformation. We arrive where we left off, but we're completely different people when we get there. Elizabeth Sampson is my favorite painter. She likes to paint Bach. She hallucinates for reasons I can't go into. But you can see the difference between this and this. This is the prelude I will play for you in a second, and it's fugue. She sees preludes as schemas. She won't call them schemas, but she sees internal structure, architecture, a blueprint. And in fugue, she sees organic applications, stuff that happens in time, but doesn't look like a schema anymore. It moves. It goes here and there. Through a pipeline, the first thing that happens is you get one XML document. So the subject of the fugue is exposed. And as soon as that happens, You get a tense subject overlaid over the letters for no particular reason whatsoever. So, in the middle of the pipeline, you will find aggregation. This same subject, which I played a little snippet of for you, will be added to. Little inversions, little transpositions of the same theme. Explanations as to why this thing is the way it is will be added and added and added and then transformed. Until finally, we have serialization. Of the few coming into its own and really telling you what G major is all about. In the process, as you can see, there's the first bit. It starts with just one document. And already, right away, you have little contracts being made. I am G, but I want this to be added. And the little gray part and pop where the number 4 is a little transformation that happens just to say, I'll put these two together. If you follow visually what happens here, you'll find that at the end, there's only serialization going on. And the original document. It isn't the same anymore. So, a prelude is a schema. And a fugue is a series of source documents and aggregations and transformations and serializations. Now, I don't expect anyone to agree, but I think, as I said at the beginning, that cocoon is simply a mnemic evolution of an old concept of thinking on how to build systems through a timeline, because this is how we operate. We don't do things at the same time. We do one, then the other. For those of you who don't know what a meme is or who completely disagree with the concept of a meme altogether, I'm going to explain my understanding of it. If you ask people why it's unlucky to light a match, to light your cigarette on the third light of a match, most people will know that this is, you know, some kind of superstition. They'll know about it. But the origin of the superstition is usually missed, which is that during the First World War, when snipers first came to do the horrible job that they have to do, lighting a match could be seen by a sniper on the first light. On the second light he passed on, he would aim. And on the third, he would blow your head off. But no one remembers this now. But it's still unlucky to take the third light for a match, even though not many of us are in front of snipers every day. That is a meme, as I understand it. Now, to me, cultural evolution through memes will be the next replicator. As Richard Dawkins says, DNA is the thing which may be eventually supplanted by mimic revolution and their replicators. So, to my mind, cocoon stands at this end of an evolution that starts with a feudal structure. And in the middle, there are memes that get passed on from person to person, from person to book, from book to computer. From person to computer, from computer to computer. This is what I believe, and I guess I'll have to illustrate this by playing it out. So, we're in the key of G. Can you hear it at the back? Okay. Good. So, the prelude gives you what the key of G is made of. Going to need to conclude. chord two. And a sequence of events, a map, a pipeline. It tells you this is how you're going to build your pipeline. This is how you're going to ask for more stuff. And then it gives you a theme. The first section of source document. And then the second. Here transformations begin. Including asking for services that weren't there in the first place. Stuff that in the middle of a pipeline you thought, I'm missing something. You know, this book has an ISBN number, but I have no idea who created it. So you go and get it. I hope that during the feud you heard the theme repeated over and over and over, many different guises. And in the middle that you heard, you know, hopefully some not too horrendous play of what are really transformations. A perfect parallel. To my mind, where we get to from here, thanks to, you know, amazing people that can do things that I can't, like Mark Lester writing the MIDI block for Cocoon. Whoever thought, you know, a year ago that we would have a framework which could talk every single kind of shape of data and timeline model that we could think of, and then could think about composition, music. I'm really happy about it, so I hope you are too. Thank you.